I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, for decades, states and local governments have been free to create their own educational standards. But now a new effort to set standards nationwide seems to be gaining acceptance. We talked to two education activists who have been involved in the process. But first, Tavis Smiley. Now, that's a name you know from right here on public radio, where he hosts a weekly program, or his television program, also found on public broadcasting, or his books, those he's authored himself or published through his imprint, or his State of the Black Union gatherings that he hosted for a decade, where he gathered African-American thought leaders to talk about the issues of the day. Now, earlier this year, he announced that he would stop hosting those gatherings because he is on to other projects. But he recently decided to bring together a group of African-American activists and intellectuals next weekend, March 20th, because he says there needs to be more of a national focus on a black agenda, even though this country is now led by a black president. But some black leaders are taking issue with Tavis's approach, and the dust-up has gotten rather heated, and it's playing out on the airwaves. Recently, on Reverend Al Sharpton's radio program, he and Tavis Smiley got into a heated debate over whether President Obama has a responsibility to set a national agenda specifically for African Americans.
When black leaders start saying to black people in the black media that we don't need to have this president focus on an African-American agenda, given that black folk are getting crushed, I said we need to come together to have a conversation about what that means. I think there's a disconnect between those kinds of quotes and black people. I made no.
No, I think there's a disconnect between. I think there's a disconnect between what you're saying and what was said. First
right.
of all. We never said that. And second of all, the New York Times never said we said that. And if you, wait a minute, I didn't interrupt you. And if you thought we had said that, you should have picked up the phone and called and asked us. When people were beating you down last year for your opposition for President Obama, I came to your forum and defended you.
So we've called Tavis Smiley to tell us more about what he has in mind, and he's with us now. Thank you for joining us. Welcome, or welcome back, I should say.
I'm glad to be back, and I am here indeed to answer whatever you want to ask.
Well, I want to give people a sense of what's been happening here. You called the Tom Joyner Morning Show last month. You were a longtime contributor there offering commentaries to announce plans for this meeting.
Over the past few weeks, a chorus of black leaders have started singing a new song. I must have missed that choir rehearsal, Jay, because I don't know the words to this new hymn. The president doesn't need a black agenda, they sing. He's not the president of black America. He's the president of all America. And he need not focus specifically on the unique challenges black America is facing, they sing. As you probably deduced by now, I'm having some trouble learning my part.
Now, what is it exactly that you're talking about? I assume you're referring to a meeting that Reverend Al Sharpton, Mark Morial, and Ben Jealous had with the president toward the end of February. But what exactly are you concerned about that you feel needs to be addressed?
It's not just that meeting, but around the time of that meeting, prior to that meeting, even after that meeting, there are any number of African-American leaders who started saying to the national news media that this president need not focus uniquely on the challenges that black America is facing. Now, everybody knows that most Americans are being challenged by this economy, but the numbers are clear. Black folk are getting crushed in education, in the economy, in the housing market, the banking industry, et cetera, et cetera. So for black leaders whose job it is to represent the best interest of black people to start saying publicly that the president need not focus specifically or uniquely on the concerns of black folk, that was unsettling for me, and I think something that black folk need to talk about.
And your specific critique of these leaders did cause some, how can we put it, some heat. I'll just play a short clip. This was particularly between you and Reverend Al Sharpton, and you made your comments on Tom Joyner's program. Then Reverend Sharpton called back into the program to offer his take on this, and then you called his program, and this we're going to play a short clip from that. Here it is.
Is that Tavis Smiley?
Reverend Al, how are you, sir?
I was fine till you stopped messing with me this morning. What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me, and I'm not messing with you or Brother Ogletree.
Why do you think he's so angry?
I think it's difficult to be the water carrier for the White House and at the same time trying to be the titular head, as it were, of black America. It's a very difficult thing to do. Reverend Sharpton, as we know, and this has been reported everywhere, is advising the president on education issues. We all recall the meeting the president had in the Oval Office with Newt Gingrich, Mike Bloomberg, Mayor of New York, and Reverend Al about education. So in some sense, Reverend Sharpton is inside the White House trying to help the president push his agenda out.
Do you mean that she used the word water carrier specifically to be provocative, or do you?
No. I'm not trying to be provocative, nor am I trying to be dismissive or cast aspersion. I'm trying to make the point that when you're in meetings with the president in the White House talking about education, and you have the president's blessings to push this agenda out about the importance of education, which we all agree about, I think, that's one thing, and that's a beautiful thing. But on the other hand, when you have to go to that same president and push back on him about a lack of a specific agenda for black people who are catching hell, there's tension there. Those are two very difficult hats, I think, to wear.
And, of course, you know that Reverend Sharpton suggested to you directly, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know, that this results from your quote-unquote buck dancing for the Clintons. His suggestion was that you're politically close to Hillary and former President Bill Clinton, and that this is the source of your critique, and if you would just respond to that.
And those kinds of personal ad hominem attacks, I think, have no place in this dialogue. I have never attacked Reverend Sharpton, never called him names, and will not now, number one. But number two, I have published 14 books, two of which lay out in detail my commentaries on Tom Joyner over those 12 years. And there's a box set of my commentaries on Tom Joyner. I say that because my stuff is readily available. And when people dig into my stuff, they will find that when Bill Clinton was president, I held him accountable on a number of issues, including a racist crime bill that made legal this 100-to-1 crack to powder cocaine discrepancy. I went after him when he signed the welfare reform bill. And I went after Bill Clinton most damning when he sat too long going into Rwanda, where ethnic cleansing was happening between the Hutus and the Tutsis. My record is very clear about holding Bill Clinton and every other leader, for that matter, accountable since I've been on radio and television to the best interest of black people.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Tavis Smiley. We're talking about his upcoming meeting that he's hosting in Chicago on March 20th, where he wants to talk about issues of particular concern to African Americans. And he's saying that there needs to be more of a specific black-focused agenda. Now, part of your argument is that African Americans forego their moral authority to criticize future presidents if they fail to criticize this one. Part of the argument by these other persons, including Reverend Sharpton, is that tactically, it's not helpful for you to single out and demand a specific black-focused agenda from this African-American president, that all it does is evoke a backlash, and it's ultimately not productive. What do you say to that?
I'm not naive here. I have worked for politicians. I have run for public office. I majored in law and public policy in college. I know how this process works. Nobody's expecting this president, or any other president for that matter, to stand up on the top of the White House and start yelling out some black agenda to the masses. That's not what we're asking for. What we are asking for is a unique focus on the specific challenges that are crushing black America. The reason why Don't Ask, Don't Tell is being addressed right now is because gays and lesbians correctly and courageously push the president on that issue. So the point is that the people who are heard are the people who get addressed.
I understand what you're saying, Tavis, but I think that they would argue that the specific concerns around Don't Ask, Don't Tell are unique to their condition as same-gender-loving individuals. But the same cannot be said for addressing the economy, that the effects may be felt more keenly in the African-American community, but it's being felt across the board. For example, men are being affected more profoundly by this recession than women are. Latinos are being affected profoundly. And so their argument is addressing the situation broadly really does address the particulars. Why are they wrong?
They are wrong because the black agenda has always been about the best of the American agenda. The black agenda has always been about democracy. There's a reason why Dr. King has a holiday named after him, because his agenda was not just good for black folk. It was good for all of America. Quick example, look at the curbside cut-ins that those who are disabled or handicapped fought for years. Curbside cut-ins everywhere, at hotels, at restaurants, in airports. We all use those curbside cut-ins at various times in our lives for rolling luggage and baby carts, et cetera, et cetera. They weren't designed for you, but everybody benefits as a result of that. And the same is true of the black agenda. It's not reductionist. It's not pejorative. It's not punitive. It's not exclusive. When you make black America better, you make all of America
but
better.
But even if that is substantively true, the argument is that some of these leaders are making is that it is not politically feasible for the president to express it that way. And if the ultimate agenda is to win, then the optics, if you want to use a fashionable word, have to be right on this. One example they would cite is that when the president spoke out strongly about the arrest of Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates Jr., he received a very negative response because people felt he was special pleading or taking sides, for example, in a racial argument, and that there was a demonstrable public opinion effect on that. So that's the argument that they would cite by where singling out African Americans for special focus by this president is not politically feasible or helpful. How would you respond to that?
There is a distinction between winning and doing what is right. The problem is that when politicians poll test everything, when everything is a media calculation, then you get to a point where you have this kind of tension that exists between the policies and what's ultimately best for the people.
Okay, but politics is the means by which government happens.
That doesn't mean that the concerns of everyday people ought not to be addressed, so that we get an administration that focuses almost exclusively on Wall Street, but everyday people are still allowed to suffer. So now we have this new populist agenda of focusing on the least of these. I'm glad that we're finally there now, but perhaps that's where we should have started.
Tavis, I do take your point that ad hominem attacks really should not have a place in civil discourse when matters of substance are being discussed. Mm-hmm. But I do feel compelled to ask you, because this is an issue that has surfaced on the blogosphere and among respectable people who do appreciate you. They
sure.
argue that this is in part an ego contest, that this is in part about your seeking relevance and leadership in an age when the president is the leading African-American figure in the country, and that this has caused a bit of an existentialist crisis, if you want to call it mm-hmm. that, among other people who are used to speaking for the black community, and they have to find a new
yeah.
place in that hierarchy. If you would respond to that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, the short answer is it's a bunch of silliness. My mission is to do my small part to make the world safe for the legacy of Dr. King. That means justice for all, service to others, and a love that liberates. When you step forward, you have to know that you're going to be challenged, sometimes with merit, sometimes without merit. But this has never been about my ego. I have a job. As you mentioned at the top of this conversation, it took you 5 minutes to get through my resume. But I don't think people are thinking straight if they believe that I wake up in the morning trying to figure out ways to be provocative to make Negroes hate me. I mean, we all want to be loved, appreciated, and respected. And this is not a career move. This is not endearing me to people. This is causing people, of course, not everybody, but some people, to take exception to what you have to say. So anyone who argues that this is about ego, I think that's they're totally missing the point here.
So tell me a little bit more about what people can expect from this conference. Is this going to be open to the public,
mm-hmm.
as your State of the Black Union conferences were? Who's invited, and what do you hope to accomplish?
We are going to talk about very simply what the need is, if there is a need, in fact, for a black agenda in the era of Obama in a so-called post-racial America. Does it make sense? If it does make sense, how do we do it? What role do black leaders play in that? What kind of agency do black people have in that? The conversation will include Cornel West and Michael Eric Dyson and Julianne Malveaux and Ron Walters and Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan, Angela Glover Blackwell, and others. Should be a spirited dialogue in Chicago.
Well, are you prepared to hear from people who might be willing to argue that the answer is no?
Of course. There may be some people on the panel who feel that way, number one. Number two, at the end of this conversation, we have a full hour, unlike we have done in the past, of questions and comments from the audience. So the people are going to get a chance to be heard. We're doing this live on Ustream, so there'll be bloggers all across the country sounding off on this while the conversation is happening. I'm not trying to shut down discourse. I'm trying to ratchet up discourse about how we get an agenda that focuses on delivering for the most loyal base of the president's constituency.
And finally, does this make you think again about your decision to end your annual State of the Union conferences? Obviously, you have, as you mentioned, a lot of things going on and a lot of different
yeah.
projects, and you had, you know, good faith reasons for saying that this is no longer how you wanted to
right.
to handle these kinds of conversations. Does it make you rethink that?
Not particularly. You know, I'm working on, you know, primetime specials for PBS. I have a special on March 31st that focuses specifically, speaking of pushback, on the pushback that Dr. King got from white folk and black leaders when he stood out at the Riverside Church in Manhattan and declared he was opposed to the war in Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson turned against him. Roy Wilkins turned against him. Whitney Young turned against him. Black folk turned against him. America turned against him. So that, you know, I haven't rethought my doing the SOBU, but working on this King piece has reminded me, and I'm not comparing myself to Dr. King, lest people get that confused, that when you stand up and try to raise unsettling questions, you are going to be, you know, subject to some pushback at times. But there are other things that I want to do. I just think this conversation, I was compelled to call this conversation in Chicago precisely because I never expected, Michelle, when I stepped off the stage in January from doing these conversations, the State of the Black Union, that is, putting some other things on my plate, I had no idea that weeks later, in Black History Month, no less, certain black leaders would start saying that the president doesn't have to focus on a black agenda. If you ever tell that to one president, you cannot come back to the next president and pick up that moral authority like a set of keys. It doesn't work that way.
Tavis Smiley is the host of the Tavis Smiley Show on PBS, among many other projects, which he's told you about. He's hosting a meeting in Chicago next week on March 20th entitled We Count, The Black Agenda is the American Agenda, and he joined us from Los Angeles. Tavis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle, for the opportunity.